All right. Do me a favor, take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5. And we'll look at 5:5 one more time. So stand with me when you're ready. We'll read it together. And then we just stand in honor of the reading of God's Word and just show the thanks that we have that we've been given this incredible gift of God's Word. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Thank you. Have a seat. Lord, we love you. And now as we dig into your word, Lord, we consider it an incredible, awesome privilege to be able to study your word that you preserved, that you protected, that you have made available to us. And not only that, but you have given us your Holy Spirit so that we can actually understand it, so that we can be given the grace to learn the truth, to know the truth, that your word is truth. And I just pray as we try to dig into your word, as we try to understand more about you and our walk with you, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to fully believe it, to fully understand as much as we possibly can, and then to be affected in our day-to-day lives by what we learn. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as your pastor, I have to tell you some things that are not always easy. And one of the things that I want to tell you that I've just been reminded of in the past, more than a month, but it's specifically been ramped up in the last month, I want to remind you of some things. And one of the things that I want to tell you about is Satan and all that work under him absolutely hate this little group of believers. I have seen enough evidence to prove that in the last year and in the last couple of months, even more so. I was reminded when I thought of it. I'm not suggesting you go watch movies, but I like movies. And I remember, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Gladiator, but towards the beginning of the movie Gladiator, he's rallying up the troops. He's getting everybody ready for war. And he says, "On my signal, unleash hell." And I feel like with what's going on here that Satan has rallied all that he can around this group of people, and he has told them, "On my signal, unleash hell on all these people." They're doing too much following of Jesus. They're going on mission trips. They're loving people who are unlovable. They're giving of their time and their money and every effort that they can to reach out to people. They're trying to show the world what Jesus is really like. And so he says, "On my signal, unleash hell on these people." And I'll be honest, as your pastor, sometimes it's so hard for me to watch you get hell unleashed on you for being obedient. But I think every single one of you in this room that are here and you're sweating drops of blood and you're crying tears and you're wading through this war, I want you to know I thank you, because to me you're an incredible encouragement that he has unleashed hell and you hadn't quit. But I said I like movies, not just movie. And one thing that came to my mind too was this movie. Have you ever seen The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? It's a great movie. You should watch it. Book by C.S. Lewis, fantastic author. But there's this part of the movie where Aslan, who is representing God, goes and dies. And there's two girls, and they're just crying, and they're just, and all of a sudden, he's alive. And there's this huge, enormous battle going on, and the White Witch, who represents the enemy, she's got her full army, and she is just decimating the good people. She is just having her full sway, whatever she wants to do. But there was a problem she had not taken into account for her battle. She thought Aslan was dead. And Aslan comes back, and he gets the girls, and he tells them, they jump on his back. He said, "We're going to go help them in the fight." And then I love it. He says, "Cover your ears. This may be loud." And he lets out this roar. Man, I love that roar, because that roar says, "I won, and I'm coming for you." And right, they cut over to the battle scene, and, you know, it's everybody's going crazy, and the White Witch, she's just going right through, and she's just killing at will. And she She looks up, though, because something catches her attention. And up on the top of a mountain stands Aslan. And he roars. And when he does, she says, "It can't be." And then he pounces and he finishes the entire battle right there. He just wipes out everybody. He gets the White Witch. He pins her down. And the last thing you see, because it's kind of a kid movie, they don't show all of it. You see a roar and teeth, and it's from her perspective, and then it's over. And I want you to know, he can unleash hell against you, but he cannot beat you. Amen. The Word of God says that the gates of hell cannot defeat the church. And the church is the people that belong to Jesus. Now, the reason why hell can't beat the church is because who fights our battles for us? Now, we have parts to play in this war. Just like in that Chronicles of Narnia thing, they were out there, they were fighting too. We've got parts to play. But the victory is secure. Because the one person that they tried to kill to make sure he couldn't win the war, he died and then came back so that not only could he win the war, but he could set us free in the midst of doing so. All right? So see, you never knew movies could be so helpful. I want to continue with this theme of the Holy Spirit for just this one more week. And we'll take your Bibles now and turn with me over to John chapter 14. I want to show you John chapter 14. We're going to begin in verse 16. And I want to show you something just to help you and just hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. Because when you're battling, there are two things that we're going to look at today that when you are battling in this battle in this life, and the enemy has unleashed hell against you, there are two things that I want you to be able to hold in your heart and your mind to be able to move forward. And the two things that we're going to look at are, one, the Holy Spirit will come alongside you and to comfort you in all of your tribulation, all of your struggle, all of your trials. One, he's going to be a comforter to you. Number two, he will come alongside you and empower you as witnesses for Jesus to be able to keep on moving forward. So those are the two things I'm going to try to show you in Scripture. Beginning in John 14, verse 16, Jesus says, "And I will pray to the Father, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." Now, an interesting thing here, if you're a language scholar, then you're way above me, but I love this particular point here. In that word helper in verse 16 is the word in Greek paraclete. And it means to come alongside. And really, there's a lot of debate among all the scholarly smart people about, does it mean helper? Does it mean advocate? Does it mean one who supports? Does it mean all these different things? Now, I want you to think for a moment with me. Why would Jesus purposefully choose a word that would be a little bit hard to pin down one particular definition? Was it because he got tired and he got lazy with his word choice? He chose a word so that when we thought of it, the Holy Spirit is all of these things to us. He is a, first and foremost, what we're going to look at is he is a comforter who comes alongside us in all our tribulation. Now take your Bible, it's like a sword drill almost this morning. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you know anything about the church at Corinth, you know that that was not the healthiest church ever mentioned in Scripture. They had some problems, they had some issues. They were going through some ups and downs and some turmoil. I want you to know that Satan will always attack God's people because we are the hands and feet of Jesus on this earth. And the more involved in following Jesus you get, the more severe he is going to attack you because he wants to keep you from doing what you should. But listen to the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Let me stop there. That word comfort there is the same word that we just saw over in the other passage in John chapter 14. In a minute, we're going to see in verse 4 and following, we're going to see this word repeated over and over again, sometimes in its verb form, sometimes in its noun form, but it's all from the same root word. So the God of all comfort, listen to verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, I have no idea why they switched to consolation. It's the exact same word again. Okay, just want you to know that. Verse 6. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. Now, there's a couple of things here. I want you to notice first that the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is that He comforts you in all your suffering, struggle, and tribulation. How much of it? Say it like you mean it. How much of it? All of it. Okay, now, why is that so significant? That is so significant because if we're honest, there are certain things that we suffer and struggle and go through that it is hard to feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit in them. Okay, it's hard to feel that comfort. And in fact, there are times when we can go long periods in our lives where we can't sense the comforting work of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means this. Either God's a liar, or, you know what, there's a process in our lives and hearts and minds to be able to understand the comfort that He's bringing. Have you ever had somebody bring you comfort and it wasn't comforting until you looked back on it later? God has done that in my life too. I want you to know that sometimes when I'm going through something and God is comforting me, I'm not picking up on that He's doing that. Have you ever been so blinded by what you were going through? I liken it to this. Have you ever seen somebody, fall? Like they just trip and fall, right? They just trip and they fall. And they're laying on the ground. And what is their reaction if you say, "Are you okay?" What do they say? Usually that looks at my house. They're inconsolable, right? Now, 30 seconds later, they're running or jumping on the trampoline again. So I'm a little suspicious about the left. No, but what I'm saying is, at times when it first hits, when the trial first comes, when the struggle first comes, and when it's been there for a little while and it's so heavy and it's so intense, it is hard for us to receive any consolation. Have you ever rubbed the back of somebody who was in severe pain? I have, 7 times. Rubbing Aaron's back when she's giving birth was not comforting to her. Now, was I comforting her? Was I showing her love? Yes, but at the moment in the pain, it was she wasn't able to receive it. But what I want you to know is I was comforting, and I want you to know that even in the midst of right now, if you can't feel it, the promise of God is this: if you belong to Him, the Holy Spirit is actively comforting you in your tribulation and trial and struggle. Right now, He is actively doing that. Okay? That's good to know, because even if I don't feel it, even if I can't sense it, I have this overwhelming drive in me because of the promises of God to say, okay, even when I don't get it, I believe God is doing it, and I can't wait to see how He's going to bring it all out. So He says He is comforting us in all our tribulations. Notice He doesn't say all of our significant tribulations as measured by other people. How many times have you been going through something and you shared it with a brother or sister in Christ who should be there to support you, and their response was, "You think that's bad? You ought to know what I'm going through." Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying, Annie. That was perfect, man. I want you to know that when we do that, we are ignoring the fact that our brothers and sisters are hurting. If you are tempted to have a contest as to who has the worst life. Put that back in the shelf and shut that drawer. Don't use that. Listen, guys, I don't care what anybody is going through, and I don't mean that like it's an I don't care. I mean, it does. What you're going through, I don't measure it. You shouldn't measure it. You shouldn't look at it and say, okay, I hear this. Actually, I hear this more than I hear the other one. I don't hear a lot of people saying mine's worse. I hear a lot of you say, well, I don't want to talk about what I'm going through because what I'm going through is insignificant compared to what other people are going through. Don't do that. Listen to me. Take and receive the comfort that you're given. And let God pour it over you. Let God put it into your life and into your heart and into your mind. Listen, that is in all your tribulations. So no matter how severe, you need to know God is always putting his comfort out. But he also does this. God gives abundant comfort to console us in abundant suffering. So when Satan pours it out on you, have you ever felt like you were trapped right at the area where the waves crash? You ever been caught there, like when it's a pretty good storm surge or a pretty good amount of waves coming in? And like, every time you almost get to stand back up, what happens? Another wave comes. And as soon as you get unpinned from the ocean floor, you come up and you take one of these breaths. And right as you're doing that, you get about a half a mouthful of sand and some salt water because you're going right back under. And at times, Satan just abundantly is allowed to unleash on you wave after wave of suffering and trial and tribulation. And I want you to know, though, that the promise here in this passage is not only does the Holy Spirit comfort you in every one of those tribulations, but he does it as abundantly and more so than what the enemy is allowed to do. So the comfort is always going to be richer, fuller, and more measure than the tribulation. You get that? In other words, if Satan throws down a $10 bill, God's throwing down $100. God is going to overdo whatever Satan has done in comfort. Now, I want to point out something here. God's comfort is rarely, if ever, going to be the kind of thing that you ask for when the trial, tribulation starts. When it starts, you have in your mind what would comfort you. And God says, I have a deeper way to comfort you. Something that is not just physical, something that is also physical, but is spiritual. It is emotional. He is going to affect you personally, deeply, and you need to know that he's going to do it abundantly. He will comfort all who encounter suffering, no matter what kind. We have a tendency as people to evaluate ourselves based on other people. And have you ever noticed how favorable we are towards ourselves? And what we have a tendency to do is we look at somebody else's suffering and we say, well, I can see why they would go through that. And we need to recognize that no matter who in the body is suffering, what God says is he's going to comfort them. And we need to know it. We need to go right to them. We need to stop being judgmental about them because we're going to see in this last part before we move to the other thing here that God comforts us so that in turn we can comfort others, lead others to Christ, and help them endure suffering. Have you ever been comforted by God? When you've been comforted by God, that is a work of the Holy Spirit in you. Now, when God works out comfort in your life, I want you to know that a part of what he is doing is he is preparing you for comforting somebody else with the exact same comfort he's already given you. Okay, listen to me. Hear me well. Because I hear people get confused. They say, okay, so I got to take over and become a comforter to others. Now listen to me. You are not the comforter. You're taking the exact same comfort you got, which didn't come from you, it came from the Holy Spirit, and you're passing that along to somebody else. You say, well, how do I pass the Holy Spirit? You take exactly what He's done in your life, and you say, hey, this is what God's done in me, bringing me through something. Okay? And you just pass that on. You know, when I've watched this happen in this church, I've seen this happen in various different ways. I remember this even one example when I was at UPS. In between Gabby and Jake, we lost a baby. And I remember that I was at work one day, and one of my coworkers knew that. And he came to me, big old guy, and just crying tears. He said, man, I don't know what to do. My wife just lost our baby. I don't know what to do. And I said, give me your wife's phone number. And Aaron and his wife, who didn't know each other at all, were able to talk. And my wife was able to comfort his wife with the comfort that God had given her when she lost our baby. Now, why was that possible? It was possible because the Holy Spirit of God comforts each and every one of us in all our tribulations in preparation to get us ready to comfort somebody else. I've seen it happen in this room with those who lose loved ones. And I've watched them walk across to another person and say, hey, I know you just lost a loved one. I want to share some of the comfort that God gave me. And I've just watched you do that. And I've watched you show that love. And I want you to know that the reason God comforts you is so that you will share that exact same comfort with somebody else. And as He does use you in that way, He's comforting you yet again. And I want you to remember that. Because as you share the hurt and the pain and the comfort that the Holy Spirit brought, it's going to remind you that God kept His promise to be a comforter. But you know what? That's not all that the Holy Spirit does. He's not just a comforter. That's enough, isn't it? That's enough. But there's more. Because you see, not only does He comfort us in all the battles, but He prepares us and empowers us to be able to fight in the battle that lays ahead. You know, Acts 1:8 is a famous verse. It's been quoted lots and lots of times. But it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. And so He says that power to be a witness for Him comes from whom? All right, I was good if you were trying to be as weak as possible. If you weren't going for your golf score in Christianity today, let's ramp this thing up a little bit. Where does the power to be a witness for Christ really come from? Okay, right. Now, and that's important to know because in this battle that we are in this lifetime, because this world has fallen, it's tainted by sin, and Satan has reign right now, and he is able to do some terrible things. And I want you to know that if you stand for Christ and you share the love of Christ, the enemy will battle against you. Lots of you sitting in this room right now, the trials that you are going through right now are in direct relation to your obedience to God, not disobedience. Direct relation to obedience. Because Satan hates your obedience, and so he wants to put a stop to it. So he says, let me attack you. And maybe I can get you to hush about Jesus. I'm going to shut you down. And what I want you to know is the only way to endure those things is first, you have to be comforted by the Holy Spirit in the trial. And then He has to empower you to keep you going. You guys remember the old commercials for the Energizer Bunny? Slapped that thing in his leg, and what did he do? He just keeps going and going and going. You remember? You remember that? Listen. If we are that commercial, then I want you to know the only power that we have to keep going is the Holy Spirit of God. You will not continue to fight in this battle and pursue the way of Christ if you are not empowered by the Holy Spirit. You will not continue to comfort others or reach out to lost people about Jesus unless you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we begin to wonder, why is this lacking in me? Why am I so dry in this area? And you know, when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. But the Bible talks about sometimes you need to be filled and refreshed and renewed in the Spirit. And how many of you have ever gotten dry in God? All right. When you're getting dry in God, you're like, hey, God, I need you to move me. I need you to work in me. And what I want to show you, first off, is that Acts 1:8. You got to remember where the power source comes from. One of our most notorious human failing traits. When things go bad, we fix it on our own. Now, what happens when you've run the ship aground? What happens when you throw the sail up? Nothing. And we do life a lot like that. We run the ship of our lives on ground, and we go, oh, man, let me fix this real quick. We run that sail up the mast, and we go, hey, why am I not moving? God doesn't love me anymore. Something's wrong. Why is this? What's going on here? And what's matter is we're trying to do what only God can do. And as Christians, you've got to circle back around to your insufficiency apart from Christ. Sometimes we get, you know that they've done studies on this, that in cultures where Christianity becomes very powerful, God has a strong moving force. Starts off poor and broken, broken homes and all these things. And then God begins to change the people. And what happens, though, is eventually people get stuck on the morality and doing it on their own. And now all of a sudden, there begins to be a decline again. And I know of a culture that's similar to that currently. But it's because we get enamored with this idea that we can do it. I want you to know, this is important, so don't miss this. No human being has ever led anybody to a true saving decision. No human being has ever done it. Salvation is a work of God through the Holy Spirit. You and I, we don't convince people to get saved. That's why I'm always, like, so worried when I hear somebody say, well, we better let so-and-so do the gospel presentation. You know, that they're more likely to believe if he shares. No. God's been saving people without that guy for a long time. He's going to keep on saving them when that guy's long gone. And so don't miss that. Look at Matthew chapter 10 with me for a reference for what I'm trying to point out. And we're going to see specifically a tie to the comfort and also to the power. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, and it says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, listen to this, don't worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, this is every procrastinator's favorite verse, right? I don't have to prepare anything. God's going to give it to me right in the moment. Listen, you need to be in the Word. You need to be filling your heart and your mind with the Scriptures and prayer. And you need to be in a constant sense of communicating with God. He's not putting down communicating with God and preparing your heart to speak whenever you get an opportunity. But what he is saying is this. Listen, we need to be careful to understand that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to put words in this mouth and your mouth that will be shared, that will get the heart and attention of other people. I can tell you lots of times, and you know, I mean, I've been at this now a whopping 10 years. And in 10 years, I can tell you there have been plenty of times when I got done, like on a Friday evening, and I wrote my last word, I dropped my pen, and I thought, I'm pretty sure everybody in the church is going to get saved on Sunday. I got saved twice just writing it. I mean, it was incredible sermon. And I preach it, and it doesn't make it past the end of that table. You know why? Because I'm in it too much. You got to have the Spirit of God being the one who gets out in front of it. He's got to be the one who gives you the power and the words. And so not only does He empower you to do it, but when He empowers you to do it, He tells you what to say. Don't you love that? You know, man, it was so cool. I don't know if you've never, ever been on an international mission trip with one of your kids. You need to go and take a kid with you. You don't have a kid, borrow somebody else's. It's fantastic. They won't mind, okay? I am telling you, I got to go with my oldest. And, you know, it was neat. We stood at some doors, and she would share the gospel. And you know, I want you to know, though, you know, she's nervous. She's 14 years old. And they would ask questions or say things, and she would, like, I don't know, she'd kind of look at me. And she would look at me because she wanted to know what to do next, right? And I want you to know, as a child of the King, when you're in that situation, you're like, I don't know what I say to that. I don't know how to move forward. You say to your Father, put your words in here. And I want you to know something. By experience, I can tell you He can do that. I have preached sometimes and get done, and I can't tell you how many times this has happened over the last few years. Somebody come up to me, you know, you said this, and that was exactly what I needed to hear. And I think to myself, doesn't sound like me. I don't think I said that. I didn't plan to say that. One time I had somebody tell me I used a certain phrase multiple times in the sermon. I don't remember ever saying that phrase in my whole life. So speaking in tongues, you know. But listen, what I want you to hear and see in that is this. You and I, by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. The power is in you. You've got to call on the power, or else if you get out there and try to do it on your own, God will let you see how insufficient you are on your own. You know why? Not because He wants to put you down, but because He wants to help you see that you need Him, that He's the real source of the power. I can't tell you how many times God has let me try to. I remember this little boy. I got to tell you about this little boy. Man, he's a cute little guy. I was about 12-ish. He was right much younger than me. He was like 2 or 3 or something like that. His name was Seth. And Seth had the most bowed little legs you've ever seen in your life. And he was waiting until he got old enough. He was getting these metal things put on his legs. They were going to turn his bones back straight so he would have straight legs. But he had to be a certain age before they could do it. And when he would run, I want to tell you something. Seth was as cute as he could be. But when he would run, sometimes he'd get so excited, he would just fall face first. And he would hit that head on concrete. And he had perfected it, though. That head would hit on that concrete, and them hands would slap the ground like that, and he'd just keep right on running. Okay? Listen, that's a picture of my Christian walk if there's ever been anything. I'm as bow-legged as I can be, and I get so excited. I'm like, God, watch me run! My head hitting the ground every step I take. But you know what? The work of the Holy Spirit is just like those braces that they put on his legs. They begin to turn them. And you know, those braces, through a lot of pain, turned those bones in those legs. And when the last time I saw Seth, he was probably in his early teens. And he could run. He could go. You know why? Because the work had been done to get him going. The power and all the work had been done to make him right. And in our lives, in our spiritual walk with Christ, I want you to know the power is in the Holy Spirit. He's working on you right now, and he's going to set you where you can go with him. But it's hard. It's difficult. And that's why he comforts you as you go through the things necessary to prepare you to be empowered, to be a bold mouthpiece, and to go through all these trials. I want you to think about one thing, though, if you're a Christian. I say this with lots of people who are Christians who go through terrible losses and different things. And I hear lots of people in this room have said the same thing to me. If it's this difficult to go through with a comforter, how does anybody make it without a relationship with Jesus? I don't know how they do anything that they do without the comforting work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I can barely make it with that some days. And that's all I've got. But that is more than enough. It is abundantly more than enough. Will you bow with me for just a minute? Listen. Maybe you're here and you don't have that comforter. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and so you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. And when I said that about you don't know, I don't know how people go through all that they go through without any comfort from the Holy Spirit, something in your heart and mind just leaped up and said, I can tell you that I'm not doing it. I'm falling all to pieces, and I need a comforter in my life. You know what? The Bible says that the comforter and eternal life and forgiveness of your sin are all offered by one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. See, God loves you, friend. He loves you so much, and he wanted you to know about his love for you. So here's what he did. He forever proved his love for you. He did this. He sent his only son, Jesus. He came to this earth, and he died for you. He took all your punishment on an old rugged cross. The Bible says he took all your pain, all your suffering, all your punishment that you and I deserve. He took it all. And then this is what he did. He was laid in a tomb. 3 days later, he walked out of that tomb to let the whole world know all the principalities and powers and every generation of humanity. He wanted them to know that he had forever defeated sin and death, and that you can have all your sins forgiven. I want you to know right now, if you've never had your sins forgiven, you've never trusted in Christ, and I want you to know then right this minute you can have that forgiveness. Is there anybody here who would say, you know what? I need that forgiveness. I need that comforter. I need the promises of God about his forgiveness, and I want to know how to be saved. Look up here at me and put your hand up by your head. Just say, hey, that's me. I need to be saved this morning. Is there anybody here? I want to give you an opportunity because I don't want you to miss it, because I want you to hear me. You're not promised tomorrow. You might not make it home today, and I don't want you to put this decision off not knowing what could happen. Is there anybody here who would say, you know what, I put it off long enough, I fought it long enough, I've grabbed the back of the chair in front of me long enough, and I want to be saved? Anybody here? All right. Christians, cry out to God that by the work of the Holy Spirit, you'll be comforted. Because when I look around this room, I see lots and lots of trials, lots and lots of struggles, lots and lots of pain and suffering. I see it all around this room. And it's because you're being obedient to Christ. You're following him, and the enemy is attacking. And what you need to do is call out for comfort. He says it's there. He says it's there in abundant fashion. But if you're not feeling it, listen, just call out and say, God, let me know it. Let me feel it. Let me sense that comfort, God. Be that comfort to me. Just call out to him. Be honest with him. Don't hold it back. He already knows anyway. Call out to God in the middle of what you're going through and just say, be my comforter. Some of you right here, right now in this room, you've seen all that Satan has tried to do, and so you have done what I talked about a minute ago, and you've run the sail up, and you've tried to get this thing back under control under your own power. And this morning, God's appeal to you through his Holy Spirit and his word was to say, hey, put the power back where it belongs. Draw your power from the Holy Spirit. Let him make you a witness about Jesus. Let him make you one who will tell people the gospel. Let him make you one who will tell people what Jesus has comforted you about. Let him be one who will make you empowered to be able to go out and to say, hey, this is who I was, and this is who I am, and it is only Jesus that could have changed me. So I want to just give you some time. Reese's going to play. I'm going to give you guys some time. The altar's open. One another. You can go right to each other, grab a brother or a sister in Christ, and begin to pray together if you feel so led. But listen, don't hold back, guys. Listen, the battle is too real. Hell has been unleashed against this body. The King of Kings has already won the war, but we need the comfort in this battle. We need the power to keep on fighting. Cry out to God that He'd give you that in the Holy Spirit.